Hello. How is everyone today? Everyone's feeling good? Today we're going to be talking about what's new in Xamarin Forms. How many people are using Xamarin Forms? How many people are just thinking about using Xamarin Forms? Okay, so we've got about half-half. So who's this guy that's talking? Just tell you a little bit of a story of how I actually started with Xamarin. Was that 5 years ago when my boss came to me and said, we need to build an app, we need a mobile app. And that time I was a JavaScript and HTML5 developer. So I thought, JavaScript for the win. So we went and started using Cordova. About 3 months later, I delivered this app to my boss, and he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy that it didn't look and feel like all the apps, other apps that he used on his phone. So I went back to spend another week trying to do the performance in this app, and then I took it back to him, and he still wasn't happy. He's like, why doesn't it look like this app? Look at this app. I need it to look like this. And it was actually a colleague 5 years ago that mentioned Xamarin to me. He's like, this JavaScript app that you're doing, it's just shit, and it's not going to be any better. You can't fix it. So I didn't actually believe that you could code C#, and you could actually build a native app. But my colleague went and downloaded it, and maybe 4 or 5 hours, or by the end of the day, he'd had this app that looked and felt native. And we were using a product called Monotouch Dialog. Has anyone heard of Monotouch Dialog? Yeah, so that was kind of a precursor to Xamarin Forms. When Xamarin Forms first came out, I thought it was going to be something similar to Monotouch Dialog, which it kind of was, but none of the code was taken from Monotouch Dialog, and there was didn't seem to sort of land as well as Monotouch Dialog did originally. But it's a lot better than it was when it started. So I'm a Xamarin MVP. I do lots of blogging on Xamarin. I like to talk about Xamarin and blog on it. And I have a company where we do Xamarin all day and night, build lots of apps. So Xamarin Forms is less buggy. So when Xamarin Forms first came out, it's debatable whether those bugs should have been there in the first place. But if we actually look at how many bugs have been solved, there's been over 1,800 bugs resolved since Xamarin Forms was first released. It's faster. Some people might say that it isn't fast, but the stuff that they've actually done in the last 18 months has made it a lot faster than it used to be. We actually get 5 to 10 times more performance than we did before with 1.0. It's open source. So has anyone actually looked at the Xamarin Forms code base, played around with it? Has anyone done a pull request? Not yet. So I'm actually going to go back and look at some of the things that were out about 18 months ago, just for the people that might have only looked at it 18 months ago or when it first came out. I might just jump into some code straight away to have a look at these. One of the things, well, just for the people that actually haven't seen a Xamarin Forms project before, I'll just take you through this project quickly. So this is a typical Xamarin Forms project. I'm using Xamarin Studio on the Mac, but there's actually Visual Studio for the Mac, but I haven't been using it just because there's some few plugins that are working with Xamarin Studio, but not with Visual Studio yet. So I've actually got my portable class library. So if I jump into this here, you can see that I'm using a PCL, profile 295, which is my common library. And I've got my Android project and my iOS project over on the left here. And UWP, which I can't actually run because I'm not set up with Windows at the moment. So one of the things that was released in 1.3, so this was about 18 months ago. So if you've created a new Xamarin Forms project recently, this actually comes out of the box. But there's a new application class, which is a model application which you use in a portable library, and it maps to some native functions on the native platforms. So you can see here I've got these on start methods, the on sleep, on resume. One of the other things that you can notice is it's got this main page. So the main page is actually what becomes the main page of your application on all the native platforms. Some of the other things, if you come from a WPF background or UWP, There's behaviours and triggers. So if you've got that XAML experience, you can actually use those XAML features. There's a little differences with them compared to the native XAML support. But you can see here, just taking a look at this behaviour. So this behaviour makes sure that we've got a valid name, so it doesn't allow me to put in any numbers or anything like that. I can only put in text and spaces. So what I can actually do is, let's start off by having a look at this application, which I've been playing around with. So this code is up on GitHub if you want to have a look at it. So this is a little project that I've been playing around with, trying to sort of mimic the Facebook UI. And if you have a look here, if I pull out the side here, you can see I've got a little search bar. But in this search bar, I'm allowed to type in numbers. So I just want to change that so I don't actually have to, so I can't type in those numbers. So in this case, I'm going to use this name validation behavior. So if I jump into my menu here, open up my search bar. And it's going to come up for me. If I run that again, so I'm trying to type in letters, the numbers there, and it's just not working. So it's some nice to have XAML features there. So what we can also look at is these features. The they're not really big features that you hear of, but they're really essential to creating applications, and you'll probably use both these features in applications that you build. So sometimes when you're doing navigation application, you want to stop a user from going back. So let's just open up one of these pages here. Let's just do it on the pinch. So what I can actually do is put in navigation page and then set has back button. So you can actually see up here that there's no back button on the top left, which is cool, so we can actually control what the user's doing. But the problem is if I actually load it up on Android, Android has a hardware back button. So there's actually another override that we can do when the back button's pressed. And if we return true there, then that's actually going to stop the Android back button from just going back automatically. So it's actually quite useful, and you'll probably use it in any app that you build for various reasons. So let's just continue on. So as you saw, the new application class, you've got those events there which are sort of common in a common library, but they're actually mapped to the native events on the platform. Behaviours, triggers. So most of this stuff is just for if you want to download the PowerPoint document. And navigation set has back paid and on back button pressed. So 1.4, there was some scroll view and list view enhancements. Even though you don't hear about them much, they're actually kind of essential to building a good application. One of the main ones is the list view header. So generally, whenever you're building an application and you do have a list of items, you want the list view to be most of the time the first child of the page or just a child of a grid, because you really don't want the list view to be a child of a stack layout or nested down anywhere. So it's better to actually, if you want something below or above the list view, you're better off using the list view header and footer. So you can see here. Just going to put a header in there. Yeah, so if you've been doing Xamarin Forms a lot, this is probably a lot of basic stuff. I'm doing a back-to-back session, so this is going to start off with some of the more basic stuff, go into the new stuff, but the next session is going to go into a lot more deeper into some tricks for Xamarin. So you can see I've got that header up there. So that stops you from having to put a list view in a stack layout, which is quite convenient. So 2.0 was a big release, especially with XAMLC. So enabling XAMLC is pretty easy. We can just go into our application up the top here. XAML compilation. One other thing you might not know about is you can actually turn XAML compilation on for your whole application, but then you can turn it off for a certain class. So I can actually just turn it off for this. It's going to copy that there. So you can turn it off at the class level, which is convenient if you're having issues with XAML compilation. Was more an issue back 6 months ago, but you still can use it if you need to. So one of the other things that was released in 2.0 was the app compat for Android. So I recommend, if you started a XAML Forms project a while back, and you're still using the old forms activity and you're not using the app compat, I definitely recommend changing over. There's a few bug fixes. It definitely performs better than the old one. So the old one is just the forms application activity. You really want to be using the forms app compat activity. And also with the app compat, you get the app compat UI for Android. So one of the, two of the other cool things are gesture recognizers. Who knows what gesture recognizers are? So gesture recognizers allow you to take input from a mobile device, which is a touch input, and it actually does a lot of the hard, heavy lifting as far as determining what type of gesture the user's doing. So let's actually just have a look at a pan gesture recognizer. So here I've got a pan container. So a pan gesture recognizer is basically when somebody touches and they move around the screen. And in this case, all you need to do is create a new pan gesture recognizer, hook up to the pan updated event, and then you can actually add it to any Xamarin Forms view. In this case, it's being added to a content view. On the pan updated event, you get your status, is it running, completed, cancelled. So we can actually have a look at that. Actually, just got to find it in the list. Because I put my back button on there, let me just. So the pan and the pinch gesture recognises are really good when you want to do some sort of... Well, it takes an input from a user. And when you're actually using the post layout animations or the post layout translations in Xamarin Forms, you can actually do some pretty cool stuff. So in this case, this is the pinch gesture recognizer. So you can see here, I'm actually simulating a pinch, and it's resizing that image when I do the pinch. And then this is the pan here, as I'm touching down and I'm moving around. So I'm just getting those events and they're going through. So we can actually have a look at the pinch to zoom container. So this is the same sort of setup. You've got a content view, you've got a pinch gesture recognizer, and I'm linking up to the pinch updated event and handling that. One of the biggest things that came out in Xamarin Forms 2.0 was the list view cell recycling. So traditionally what happened in Xamarin Forms in a list view was every time you saw a new cell, it would instantiate that whole view. Now with the cell recycling, what it'll actually do is it'll take a certain amount of views and it'll actually recycle those cells. So you can actually see here in my list view, I've actually got it turned on here. So it's actually disabled by default. So you need to actually go and explicitly enable it. Because I've got an inherited list view here, I'm doing it in the C# code, but you can actually turn it on directly in a list view. If you just do caching strategy, and that'll just work. It won't actually work if you have an inherited list view because this value goes into the constructor even though it's defined in the XAML. So whenever you inherit, you either have to allow it in this constructor or you need to actually declare it specifically in there. I might actually try turning it off. Let's actually have a look at the performance difference. You can see that, I mean, it's a lot easier to see in my simulator, but it's dropping frames there. But if I go and turn it on, you can see it's a lot smoother. So one of the other things that actually came out at the same time as the cell recycling is the data template selector. So the data template selector actually allows you to have different views within your list view but still use the recycling. So before the data template selector, people would go in and they would... when the binding context changed on a cell, that would rebuild the whole cell or change the layout completely, add or remove different things or show and hide things. So the data template selector actually allows you to define a set of sort of templates that you would use. I mean, in this case, when I run this application, I'm using four different data templates. So you can see here, this is a different type of view that I'm using here. There's another one which doesn't actually have the images somewhere. Yeah, so this is another type of data template. So definitely recommend if you're doing a list view, look at using the data template selector. because it really can help you get good performance out of that list view. Anytime you're going to have like a long list of items, or you want to build a really long page, I recommend you leveraging the list view and the data template selector, and you can put lots of different things in there. So you can really get really long scrolling pages by leveraging the list view and the data template selector. So previously with XAML, was parsed and inflated at runtime, which you can see down the bottom there. Now with MLC, it's actually parsed and turned to IL at compile time. So it's faster, you get a smaller app size, though the small app size isn't really that much smaller. And you see XAML errors at build time. So someone's actually run a performance analysis on XAMLC versus normal XAML. The blue up on this screen here is the like inflated XAML, whereas the red is the compiled XAML. So overall, you can see it's about 5 times faster. It does increase the build time a little bit, so it's sort of 15 seconds for your average application. And that data was thanks to Matthew Robbins of mFractor, which you'll actually see that I'm using in the XAML Studio IDE. So you can see here, this is the Android app compat. So this is mainly for people that are sort of downloading the slides if you want to have a look at them. The pinch gesture recognizer, as you saw, the pan gesture recognizer, and the solid recycling, and the data template selector. So then we had 2.1 with the UWP support. So at the moment, I'm not actually running Windows. So I can't actually run the UWP, but if I actually had my Windows linked up to this, I would be able to run my UWP application. It would look the same on iOS, Android, and UWP. One other thing that was released in that release was control templates. So we use this a little bit. So control templates are like master pages in .NET. So you create a master page with sort of like a header and a footer, and then you can have a content in the middle of it. So if we actually have a look, I've actually used it for these post pages, because what I wanted to do was I wanted to have a close button at the top of the page. So I've created a little grid here with a height of 50, and then it would stretch out the rest with the content. So the content presenter is where the actual inner content goes. So you've got this grid on the outside with this button here, and then you've got this content presenter. So where I actually use it on this pan demo, if I put it in there, what's actually going to happen there is, so now it's using this control template, and it's actually going to put this content in here inside this template, where that content presenter is. So I've got that big close button, which I think it might break because it's doing yep. So previously I was showing that modally, and then I was trying to pop it modally. But you could see that I had this close button here, and then it was just changing the content on the inside. One of the other things that was released was effects. So XamarForms has always had this concept of custom renderers. The whole XamarForms is built on custom renderers. So when you have a label, you have a label renderer for iOS, a label renderer for Android, and for all the native platforms. The problem with custom renderers was always a one-to-one mapping. So when you had a label, there was always an iOS renderer. There was no way to sort of do it via composition where you can add it as a feature to the label. So you can't have multiple renderers applied to one label. So FX is kind of like a lighter solution for that. So if we actually have a look here, got two effects in this project. One is a no border entry effect. The good thing about effects is you can apply them in your project, but you only have to have them on a certain platform. So you can have it on iOS, and you don't need to sort of have it on Android. It can just apply on iOS. So in this case, I just wanted an entry which didn't have a border. So if I have a look here on my iOS project, in my effects here, I've got my platform effect. When that's attached, I'm changing the border style and changing the background color to transparent. So primarily previously I was in the common library. Now I'm actually inside the iOS library, which you can see here. Got the iOS head on it. So one thing to note is you can see up the top, it's using UIKit, so when I'm in an effect or a custom renderer, I have full access to the native APIs for iOS and for iOS in this case. To export an effect, we just put this assembly attribute on it, export effect, and then we actually do it via a name. And then all we need to do is actually link up that name here as a routing effect. And then if we see in the project, we've got that effect running on that entry. The other one that we implemented, which is a little bit different, was a custom search bar, where we could actually have a value that's passed into the effect. So in this case, it's got a background, placeholder background color. So inside this effect, you can see we're actually picking up the effect, and we're actually getting the background color out of it, turning it into an iOS UI color, and assigning it to that text field. So just to show you, I'll actually just disable the custom search bar effect on this. So you can see here now, it's gone back to the white color. So that adding that feature with it, the custom search bar where we can change the background, normally you wouldn't actually be able to do that unless you created either an inherited custom renderer, or in this case, we've used an effect. The effects are good because they're not very obtrusive. They don't sort of come in and have to take over your whole renderer. You can have apply multiple of effects to a certain control. Yeah, so as we saw, control templates. In this demo, or in this image here, it's got the header and the footer, and both of them being used. In that demo, you can actually change the theme and change the color. So you can see here at the top we've got a control template, which is the Aqua template, and in the middle there we've got a content presenter, and on this page here we're using the Aqua template as the control template on that content view. Data template selector. So in this case we're actually, this is the demo that I gave before. Effects, a custom renderer light, allows you to modify native control properties per platform. So it's important to note it's the composition, it's not inherited. And that's the same demo we just saw. In 2.2, there's the carousel view. So Xamarin don't recommend using the carousel page anymore. If you want to use a carousel, if you want a carousel, use the carousel view. UWP Maps was in 2.2, and also margins. So margins is something that you would thought would be in 1.0, but now it's in 2.2, which is good. So carousel view, you can see it there at the top. It's sliding those images from left to right. So that actually supports the data template selector, and it's fully customizable and uses the cell, well, the recycling the same way as the list view does. So at Xamarin Evolve, there was two products released, data pages and themes. Now, they haven't been fully cut, but they're just not part of the roadmap for the next, well, at least 9 months. So they're still in preview mode. So I wouldn't recommend going and looking at data pages or themes. I would just sort of park them to the side for the moment. You can kind of implement your own theming systems or what's built into Xamarin Forms, which I'll go to in the next session. But one of the really cool things in 2.3 was embedding native controls and platform specifics, which we'll go into soon. So this is a pretty cool demo. So if you're not familiar with iOS development, whenever you're using any of the common controls in the iOS library, it's always got the UI in front of it. So you can tell if something's an iOS control by looking if it's got those two capital letters in front of it. So here we're using a UI label. So this is actually in the PCL in XAML, and it's in a common library. So what will actually happen where I'm using this UI label is when it's iOS, it'll pick up that it's using a UI label and it'll create a UI label which is the native iOS control. When you're on Android, it'll just completely ignore it. You won't need to actually even worry about it. So you can see up here, I've got my namespace. So it's using UIKit from the Xamarin iOS assembly, and the target platform is iOS. So these are built in, so that's the Xamarin iOS. The UI text view is built into Xamarin iOS or into the native platform. It's fully supported in XAML, so you have the two-way data binding. You can use the static references. You can use everything that you would normally use in XAML. So basically you've taken just XAML, which was like a DSL which will map in custom renderers, and now you can just put in any native control that you want into it. In this case, the way that it's been set up is it's just bringing in both the Android view and the iOS view. So this will actually have the same functionality on iOS and on Android. So iOS will just ignore when it sees the Android views. So if we actually have a look at the Android, we've got an Android widget, which is in the mono Android assembly. One thing that you can see here is this color picker view is actually a third-party component that's being used. So if we actually have a look here, the assembly, the color. Okay, so this is actually a control that should be inside our iOS project. There we go, our color picker view. Which inherits from a UI view. So this is a native control that I've directly referenced from my from my portable class library. So if I just run this, so we've got our native picker here. So what's actually happening as well is we can change text from forms. So you can see I've just changed the text there. So I've got my two-way data binding in my view model. So this should run on Android as well. So this is the XAML declaration. You can also do it in code. In code, you'll need to actually have it via a shared project and then have to use ifdefs. That didn't work. Oh well. Haven't actually run on Android before. But technically it's supposed to work on Android. So platform specifics, oh, we'll go into that in a second. So native embedding, so you can see here in this actual visual example where on the left-hand side, that's Android, and that's using a fab button. So that's a component that you can take out of NuGet, and you can use it directly either in your XAML or in a shared project in C#. The iOS, that's a UI segment control. Just a native control that somebody's put into their Xamarin Forms view. So in this case, you can actually see where it's done in code. At the top, it's creating a fab button. It's setting, linking up the click event, and then down the bottom, you can actually see where the fab's been added directly into the Xamarin Forms control hierarchy. As we saw, the native embedding in XAML. Platform specifics. When platform specifics first came out, I couldn't understand what the difference between effects and platform specifics was. But they are actually kind of the same. Platform specifics are built in, but they still rely on an effect being there, and it still uses an effect when you want to create your own platform specifics. So there's some built-in ones that are fairly useful. On Android, the adjust resize, adjust pan, allows you to change the way the soft input key mode works, which is a pretty big one. So you actually see here with the platform specifics on Android, it's changing the input mode to resize. So by default, in Xamarin Forms, the way the keyboard actually works is it'll just move everything up and you'll lose the top half of the screen. If you change it adjust resize will actually it'll move it up so you can still see the headers and the footers, or you can still see what's higher within the application. The XAML previewer. So the XAML preview does work. Used to work a lot better previously. I've done something to my machine. So the trick is with the XAML previewer, if you want to actually to get it to work, you have to build and run your application first. Let's just see if we can... used to work a lot faster, but because... I might just run this first. So now that I've run that, if I come back into something that's going to be visible. For some reason, on my device, on my computer at the moment, it's taking a while to come up. It used to be a lot faster, so I did install Visual Studio for Mac, and then I uninstalled it, and then I installed Xamarin Studio again, so maybe that was the problem. But you can see here, I've got my designer. I wonder if Android's going to come up. Probably need to run. So you can see there I can change it between phone and tablet. Change the rotation. So if I actually change some of the content in here, it should appear. Yes, so that's working. Just got to zoom in. So at the moment I had to put that text in there. You can actually use a declaration in here to say that you want to use a certain view model. And it'll actually pick up the data that you have in that view model. So the Xaml Previewer, it does work. We actually use it a little bit, which is good. So I just thought talk about some of the things that are coming up that are going to be released soon. They're doing releases by quarters. So 2, 3, 4, 2.4, 2.5. I think, don't actually know this, but from what I sort of gather, is it's going to go up on 2s with just non-breaking changes, and then they're going to put a big 3.0 release with lots of breaking changes out sometime in the future. So 2.3.4, which should be coming out sometime soon, as improvements to startup time, some XAML C enhancements, the bindable picker, which is one of the things that kind of should have been there previously, and some new features on IDM support for UWP. Q2, which is 2.4, has... You'll notice here that half of the features, half of the things they're doing is actually divided between performance and features. So there's not a huge amount of features that they're doing, but there's lots of performance things that they're doing, which is good, which is kind of what people have been asking for. So they're really listening to what people are saying and they're actually making those changes. So compiled native views, fast renderers. So the I think in 2.4, there's like the label view is going to be a fast renderer. So they're actually going in and they're actually trying to make a lot of their custom renderers run a lot faster. Layout compression. So they're actually don't know exactly what layout compression is actually. Startup time improvements, which will always be good. I mean, Android. One of the things with Xamarin Forms is that the Android startup time can be a little bit slow. So one thing that I actually did see come in recently, we can actually have a look at this. So if you do want to see what's where Xamarin Forms is heading, the forums is probably the best place. So this actually only got sort of announced less than a week ago. Flexbox. So there's plans to put in CSS. Support into Xamarin Forms, which is a bit controversial. So it'll have support CSS, and then Flexbox is a new type of layout, which will actually lay out in a sort of box view style that you have on the web, as far as I know. And then you'll be able to do CSS to actually control things like you do with a box, well, with the box view on the web, which is... That's coming out pretty soon, which is interesting, because it seems like they've actually must have already been playing around with implementing something like this. I mean, if you... My preference would have been if they actually developed a collection view, because I feel like that's one of the main missing things that they haven't actually got at the moment, but the Flexbox will be nice to have as well. So Xamarin Forms embedding. So basically, you can take a you've got an iOS project, and you just want to use a certain page and just use that for Xamarin Forms for that. Then that's the new feature that they're going to have. So you can actually have an iOS application that you've done in Xamarin iOS, and then just stick a little bit of Xamarin Forms in there if you want to. And the Xamarin Forms from macOS. So Xamarin Forms is doing daily builds at the moment, which you can actually go and you can link up in your IDE and you can actually use. I know macOS is there. Some of these other ones we haven't actually seen come into the code base just yet, but hopefully they'll come in soon. So again, in Q3, lots of performance stuff, and then the final release for Xamarin Forms for macOS. So this is the roadmap. It's not guaranteed that this is actually what's going to happen, but it sort of gives us an indication of where they're heading. And it's definitely good to see that the Xamarin Forms performance is being taken seriously. So this is their focus that they've promised. So they're going to focus on quality, stability, and performance, which is great. So if you want to, you can go and have a look at the Xamarin Forms code base anytime you like, which is a fun thing to do sometimes. One of the things that I did actually notice, there's some sort of work in... So they haven't actually announced anything, but I did notice that there was some sort of work happening in Visual State Manager. I don't actually know what that is, but it sounds pretty interesting. Now, one thing that I just got working the other day was when I found out that the daily builds for Xamarin Forms were out up there, I went and had a look at running... let me just see... We've got this little project that we're working on, and I linked up the daily build. So it's just loading that project up now. So it's pretty easy to link up the daily build of Xamarin Forms if you want to. There's actually directions to do it in Visual Studio, but this is how I've done it in Xamarin Studio. In Visual Studio for Mac will be the same. I just put it up to Xamarin Forms nightly. So you just go in, add it, give it a name, and give it a URL. That's all you need. So you can actually see now I've got my Mac head. The Mac application looks similar to the iOS application. I've just got my application delegate here. It's actually using the Forms application delegate. So that's the Forms application delegate for Mac OS. Doing a few little hacks there. But generally just looking like a standard head of a Xamarin Forms application. Actually, I made some changes to this project since I've run this Mac app. Oh no, actually, it's the old code base, so that's all good. Yeah, so it's not perfect, but you can see there I've taken the Xamarin Forms application and it's running on my Mac, which is pretty cool. Because some of our customers have a requirement to have a native Mac application fairly soon, and they want to take the iOS and Android application. So it's really good to see that. Yeah, so you fill out your session evaluation, so the feedback is always good. I'll definitely go and have a read of that. So continue your Ignite learning path. So these are some good places to get content. The Xamarin forums, if you have any questions, are always a really good place. There's a Slack channel for Xamarin if you want to get sort of support. There's lots of people on there, which is good. So if you actually put in your session evaluation, you get a chance to drive a drone down in the car park or one of the rooms here, which is pretty cool. So I definitely recommend putting in your session evaluation. So I'll be in the speaker lounge for the most of the day today. I mean, this session was sort of just some standard stuff. If you want to get more deep into Xamarin Forms, my next session, which is in 1B, I actually do some more specific stuff and some more technical stuff with Xamarin Forms. So I guess, is there any questions?